We're dismissing children, and we just bless the Lord. The teenagers will stay here, but we dismiss the younger children. Amen. How many really looking forward to flying away? What glad for me. When this life is over, I'll fly away. Amen. Ever be with the Lord. The scripture says, so shall we ever. So shall we ever be with the Lord. How many want to be with the Lord? Amen. Forever and ever, I'll be able to sing a song that angels cannot sing. I'll be redeemed. Anybody be redeemed tonight by the blood of the Lamb? Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we thank you. Amen. Just a couple of announcements. We are making progress in the church. Yeah, we are making progress. They do have the Attorney General approval in verbally, but now we're working for all the paperwork. Pushing everything forward as fast as possible. Amen. So we just bless the Lord for that. Amen. I told him, I said, in God's own time. We can't rush God. In God's own time. Amen. He's going to make it happen. Amen. Praise the Lord, Brother Jay. So glad to see Jay. Oh, smiley Jay. Amen. Hallelujah. So in God's own time, he's going to make it happen. Like I said, everything now is paperwork and this and that. The other, but we're just waiting on the Lord to do what he's going to do in his own time, amen? And we just bless the Lord for that. We're so grateful for all that God is doing, amen? Somebody said, there's certainly no God like our God. Anybody have that testimony? Amen. Not somebody else's testimony, but our own personal testimony. And in my life, there's no God like our God, amen? God can do what I got to do. Oh, yes. And also, my wife gave her testimony at the end of service. I can't give all of them. They say, leave something for somebody else, right? You can't. Someone said, don't do it all. Yeah, so she gave her testimony at the end of the service. But, you know, one of the things that's so important for us to realize in these last few days that we're living in, amen. It's almost alarming to watch the news. They got some of the most heinous, wicked crimes I ever heard. Wicked. Amen. I was listening to one with a young teenage girl. They set her on fire. And she was walking down the street burning. And someone had to call the paramedics and the emergency group in to help her, and she still died. A young teenage girl. Some kind of way they got in a car, set the car on fire, and she was walking down the street burning. Amen. And then I was listening, a stepfather, they said they put cigarette lighting fluid down her throat and nose and set on fire. Yeah, what kind of mind do you have? This is a wicked world we're living in, amen. So, you know, we don't get alarmed, but also we should, the Bible says, watch. Right? Even young people, you have to watch. And then the one girl, I think she's 33 years old, left. She was working at a daycare, and she disappeared from daycare. And they found her in her stepfather's backyard dead, shot. But that wasn't the worst part of it all. The worst part of it was, after he killed her, he had sexual intercourse with her. And they're trying to figure out, how are you going to try this guy? A stepfather? You figure, when you're in the space of your family, you're safe. So we have a lot to pray about, amen. I told my wife, I don't know, sometimes it's not even good to watch the news. You know, but these are signs of the times. But for the church, it should be an awakening. The Bible says, high time for us to wake out of. For now is our salvation nearer than when we what? First believed. And now, the weather patterns, have you all noticed the weather? Out on the West Coast, they have had unprecedented flooding. San Francisco and California, I mean, I think they should be got as much as 13 to 16 inches in one day. Streets were flooded. Then the whole northeast was hit with a northeaster. Amen. Rain, snow, sleet. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that something's happening. Amen. Amen. But to the church, that's just indicators. Did not Jesus say you can discern the face of the sky? But can you not discern the sign? These are signs of the times. Amen. Jesus is coming back. All that insignificant secondary stuff that so doesn't matter, we need to put that stuff on the back burner. And we need to be real for Jesus. Real for Jesus. Amen. You know, as Grace here was singing, one of the scriptures the Lord brought to my mind was that the scripture says that there was a time in Israel's history when the judges ruled, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes, right? Because there was no leadership. There was no spiritual leaders to take them. So after one judge would judge, then he would mess up, and God would allow his people to be overtaken. And every time it happened, they did that which was right in their own eyes. But that brought about disaster. Amen. And then from the time of the judges up to Samuel, when Samuel was born and came on the scene, the word of God lets us know that in those days there was no open vision, but the word of God was precious. Today, if there ever was a time that the word of God should be precious, it should be today. More than anything, you know. And I've been making it a habit. I get up early in the morning. I said, Lord, I just want more of God's word. Amen. And I've been challenging myself. Now, this is my challenge. This is your challenge. The other day, I said, you know, after we had Bible class on, I think it was 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I started reading. I said, you know, that's a good chapter. So I learned the whole 16 verses in like a few hours. But I ain't going to tell y'all. You have to learn this for yourself. I could quote it. I might mess up a few, but I just learned it the other day. But I probably could quote all 16 because I did the first six. I said, wow, that was good. You know, not good for me, but just the word itself, you know, because I think the word of God should be precious to us. I might quote it, maybe at the end of service. All right. Yeah, I know most of it is, and I remember when I came into your kingdom, I'm excellent speech of man's wisdom and intuition of spirit of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I know. And I was determined not to know anything more than say Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Right? He said that my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that's good enough. Then you'll learn it yourself. All right? He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the what? Power. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. How did we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Y'all try to look and see if I got it right. Amen. But I agree. But nevertheless, what I'm saying is the word of God has to be precious to us. Amen. We should be able. They said that Bishop G.T. Haywood would start a Bible class and would quote whole chapters and never open his Bible. Right, because the word of God was precious. So tonight, we just want to continue. Make the word of God a part of your life. You know, you can read other things, but have the word of God. Amen. Now, the one thing, I've made a video, different health groups, and for the last month, they keep sending all, I've been getting not just one group, but several different groups keep sending all this stuff on sodium fluoride and fluoridation. Amen. And they were saying how fluoride, because how do you know they put fluoride in the water now? Right? Well, what fluoride does is it destroys the brain cells. Right? But they put it in the water because they say it's supposed to make you whatever it's supposed to be for cavities, and they said it won't make a difference. The number one thing Hitler did when he wanted to brainwash the people is he did what? Fluoridated the water. Right? So they were saying, now, how many of you ever look at the back of your toothpaste? You ever read it? Right? It says, now you're supposed to use a pea size, a toothpaste, right? It says if you use more than that and swallow it, contact the quality control center. Y'all ever read that? Seriously. If you use more than a pea size, of toothpaste and swallow it, contact the Poison Control Center. Right? So it's a whole lot that, you know, I said, well, you know, it's good for the sinks and all this. Now, what I do for toothpaste, I've known this for the last year or so, I use baking soda and peroxide. Right? Because most of the time, most of the toothpaste has baking soda peroxide in it, but it also has fluoride. Right? So what I did, I said, you know what, most of y'all aren't going to believe this anyway. So I said, I'll make up a DVD so you can study for yourself. Amen. Because Martha the Deer made me what? Fully persuaded in his own mind. But then it shocked me where sodium fluoride comes from. Right? Actually, I said tonight, should I show this DVD or should we continue our teaching? But I said, I wanted to show it. But my wife said, we never finish anything we start. So she messed me up. So I started last week, so I need to finish it. Besides that, oh yes, actually I could show it because I streamed it on my computer. But what he said, sodium fluoride is actually a byproduct of a waste, toxic waste that was going into the air. So what these companies wanted to do is say, how can we profit on saving the sodium fluoride and not releasing it into the air? So what they do is they collect all the liquid in the chimney flues. And the liquid is converted, I mean the sodium fluoride is converted to a liquid, and they store it in these drums. But they had no way to get rid of it because it's a toxic waste. So somebody came up with the bright idea, let's fluoridate the water with the toxic waste. True story. No lie. They put almost all water, almost all municipal drinking water has it in it. And it is a heinous crime. And the people wonder, how were they able to get this? How can you take something that's known poison? And you know what sodium fluoride is mostly used in? Insecticides. What does insecticides do? Kill bugs, right? And then the other part that they get it from is part of fertilizers. Right, so that's just a teaser. Now, I'm going to give you all the DVD that y'all can do your own research. But you better watch your water and watch that toothpaste. But they said the reason that these health organizations are bringing it out is because the IQs of especially American kids and adults are going way down. You know, and you have to try and figure out how in the world were they able to get this by? Amen. Do y'all believe this? I'm going to make the DVD available. I'm going to bring this out today. You can do your own research. But you know, we have a responsibility. We can't just take everything at face value. How many know about Stone One is? That they have to destroy 90% of the useless eaters in the world. Right? Because they figure the elite are the only ones that are valuable. So all of us are considered. So they're trying to reduce the world population, which is over 6 billion, I think 7 billion now. They try to reduce it by 90%. Well, how do you do it? You get people to drink and eat poison. Amen. That's how you do it. But that's a trailer. Right? Don't they tell it? What does a trailer do? That teases you to do what? Watch the movie, right? So I'm going to give you the DVD, but we really need to start helping ourselves out in some areas. How in the world could they be feeding us poison and telling us it's good for us? Amen? And then, now, how do you know there's two different kinds of sugar? This ain't Bible class completely yet. There are two different kinds of sugar. There are three different kinds. Turbinado sugar, which is the natural sugar, which has molasses in it, is the natural sugar. Then there's bleached sugar. White sugar is bleached. One is made out of beets, and the other is made out of cane. But 100% of your beet sugar is now GMO. And genetically modified, they're finding out is more dangerous than anything, and because it creates a resistance in your body. And they're finding out, supposedly, when they first came out with it, they said it's not bad for you. But now they're testing the babies and the fluid in the umbilical cords of pregnant mothers, and guess what it's full of? This poison from these GMOs. All right, so that's enough. I'm going to give you all something that you can read it for yourself. Amen. But we need to start doing something for ourselves. The Lord, let me ask you this. When the Lord first created man, what was their staple? What was their diet?
Vegetables.
Right? Vegetables and nuts and fruits, right? Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, whether the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not. Right? So in the beginning, God created us. The staple of our diet was vegetables. And none of the kids ate vegetables. When I was growing up, we didn't have an option. And there wasn't no debating. We didn't argue that point. What was on the table, you ate it. All right. So when did man start eating meat?
After the flood.
After the what? After the flood. Right? If you read about it, after the flood, God tells man, he said, now eat the meat, but remember scripture says that the thoughts of man's heart with evil continuously, right? So God knew they won't eat meat. He said, but just don't eat it mixed with the blood. Because prior to that, I'm not giving, that's enough for y'all, all right? Y'all say, man, I'm hearing some strange stuff tonight. But I'm telling you, this is how we've been dumped down. And we're doing things that aren't good for us. Now, in the third world countries, don't have a problem with arthritis and sugar diabetes and that type of stuff. But then in the developed countries, we have a problem with arthritis, sugar diabetes. Well, what's the catch? What's the difference? Right? The way the meats and stuff are processed and made. So we need to do ourselves some justice. Amen. So I say, I feel sluggish. I don't feel like moving. I don't even feel like getting up half the time. What's your diet? Like, what are the strongest, what are some of the strongest, most powerful, man, I'm going to mess with you. What are the strongest, some of the strongest, most powerful animals in the world?
Elephants.
Horses. Oxes. How much meat do they eat?
Vegetarian.
All that muscle. Where do they get all that muscle from? Right? All they need, grass and grains and stuff like that, right? Well, it's so important that we try to do some things to better ourselves physically. Don't wait till you lose your health and then try to get it. While you have some health, try to now restore what you have. Amen. We don't have to keep going the wayward way and accepting everything that the government says to be true that's not true. Right? Oh, let me give you one other thing, then we get to the Word of God. You know what they find? Everyone that has a disease, everyone that has any disease, okay, let's say everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone that has any disease is all traced back to the what?
Vaccination.
Yeah, but before the vaccination, to the what? To the gut. Right? Because everyone with poor health or have health challenges has poor gut flora. Right, and the vaccination, that's right. You know it has to be vaccination. They said, well, when you reach such and such an age, then you need to be treated for this. How do you know that? Right? So I'm saying it's a whole lot. This is what we used to go with current events.
Amen.
They just had a synopsis of current event. But what I'm saying is we need to do some things to try and better ourselves and help ourselves. This fast food, Burger King, not McDonald's, all that stuff. I'm telling you, I'm telling you why I stopped eating Burger King and McDonald's. Because as a kid, I grew up on it. Big Macs and quarter pounds with quick cheese. But I had been working for a while, I hadn't had it. And I went, we were in Albany, down on Pearl Street. I said, man, I haven't had McDonald's in a while. I went and ate McDonald's. About 2 minutes, 15 minutes later, I threw that stuff everywhere. I said, oh, I said, man, I got some bad food, right? So about a week later, I ate it again, the same thing happened. I said, wow, that's kind of strange. What was that? So then I was coming, Lando and I, we were together on this. We were coming from Utica. And then Burger King, you buy one whopper, get one free. So, wow, you know, can't beat that deal, right? Whoppers. How you mess up on whoppers? I got a whopper. By the time I got 15 miles down the road, I threw up again. I said, you know what? Something's wrong. Every time I eat fast food, I get sick. So guess what? I didn't keep getting sick. I stopped eating fast food. Seriously, I don't think none of that stuff anymore. Because every time I ate it, literally 100% of the time I got sick and wound up vomiting it all up. You know, so I said, I don't be intelligent to know my system is expelling something that's hurting me. No charge. All right, let's go to Titus chapter 1. All right, so I'm going to give you all, I just think it's important that we as a church try to help ourselves. So I'm going to give you the DVD on the fluoride, and then you can make your own assessment. We just give you knowledge. You have to decide what you want to do with it. Amen. But anything that Hitler gave people to dumb them down, I don't think I need it. What do you think?
Amen.
We don't need it. Amen.
Amen.
But anything that's coming from being converted from toxic waste in a chimney to something put in the water, guess what? We don't need that either. Amen. But last week, we went over, and I won't be long. I'll just give you all a few minutes. Amen. But last week, we went over setting the church in order. And this is not for going into a new church, but we want to, how does God see us? When we set the church in order, how does God see us? And the one thing that the Lord told Isaiah to tell Hezekiah, when it was Hezekiah's time, he said, do what? Set your house
in order.
Now we're talking about not just our physical place, our physical house, but also our spiritual house. Not just what we are, but the church. It's time for the church to be in order. So Titus chapter 1, and we read verses 1 through 5 again. Amen. We want tonight to set our house in order. Well, what's important about setting your house in order? How does God see every last one of us? Now, when we're with everybody in church, we all put forth our best foot, right? You don't want nobody. I don't want nobody to think something's wrong with me. Do you know that God sees you all the time? Everywhere you go, everything you do, the Bible says, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. God sees you all the time. So when you're at home and let your hair down, right, by either shave it like me. Yeah, I didn't be out like that one, yeah. Sherry, you have to do it. Whoa, I'm real bad. God sees you there too. Amen. So it's so important to realize that we have been so trained to try to please people, we always forget about God. Right? So if the right people are around, we won't act a certain way. I know some of y'all are better than others. But, you know, come on. When somebody looks at you, you ain't going to act ungodly. But don't you realize God is watching you all the time? Amen. And that's why Jesus said, listen, you have this order reversed. You try to please him that can't destroy the body or the soul. You fear and reverence those that can't do anything. He said you ought to fear him that's able to destroy both the body and soul. So we want our house to be in order. Amen. You know, the thing about God is now, when Jesus was dealing with situations in the Bible, remember he said he knew their thoughts? Right? Jesus would be giving them a parable. He said he knew their thoughts. Did anybody tell them? No, because God said not. Man looks at what? But God constantly reading your heart. So we can act like, and this is where the Bible is kind of, it's a scripture we use, but it's kind of out of place. The Bible says a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Right? That's a good application, but the real truth of that is someone is giving you the opinion or the impression that they're with you, but they really aren't. Right? So they tell you, oh yeah, eat, drink, I'm with you, you're in good shape. But the Bible says, no, those are the ones you have to watch, because as a man thinketh in his heart, So it's a dual application in the sense, yes, we can use it in the Bible, but the real essence of that message was a lot of people are trying to say they're with you, but they aren't. They're not part of you. So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. All right, let's get to this, amen. Somebody say, you go everywhere. Can you just stay in one place? Can you just be led? Amen. Because what I think is not important tonight, what does God think? What does God see in your motives? Right? What does God see in your actions? He give your body to be burned. Restore all your Lord goods to feed the poor. And if you have not the right motive, it profits you what? That's impossible. How can I do all that and it profits me nothing? Because God looks at the motives. Amen. Verse 1 reads, Paul, a servant of God and of an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and acknowledging of the truth, which is after. If you don't say godliness, there ain't no truth. When we get in self, it's not the truth. When we get into the world system, that's not the truth. The truth is after godliness. So that's why God wants us to be godly. Amen. In hope of eternal life, which God, can we read this together? What? God cannot lie. Promise before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through God has manifested his will, his word, his direction from us through preaching. And Paul said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, that manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest what? Set in order the things that are wanting. Amen. May the Lord have listened to the reading of the word the church said. So he says, left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are. That wanting means that things, some things that should be in the church are lacking. Amen. He said, so I left you there. He said, not only did I leave you there to set them in order, but I need you to ordain elders in every city to make sure it's done what? Properly. So God has order. Amen. The Bible said without a vision, the people, well, that vision means without the law and the word of God, the people perish. I know we said vision. We didn't think vision. No, it means without structure. Without law, without the word of God, the people will perish. So, yes, a lot of the Bible we quote is kind of out of place. Because we quote the vision, but the vision is really the law, the word of God. Without law, the people perish. Without law, it's the same as iniquity. Iniquity means to be lawless, right? So without law, people perish. Without order, people perish. Without structure, people perish. And without godliness, people perish. Now, we're summarizing what we went over last week for whoever wasn't here. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we'll go to verse 40, and then we'll go to verse 33. All right? But 1 Corinthians 14, 40, the Bible said, let everything be done. How? Decently and in let what? Everything. We can't pick and choose in church what we're going to do. Let what? Everything be done decently and in order. And then verse 33 says, but God is not the author of who? God. It's not the author of confusion, but God is there to establish peace in all the churches. Amen. So the reason that we come to church, the reason that God has structure, the reason that God has order, is to eliminate confusion. Amen. God does that to eliminate confusion. And then in the book of James, I know it's in chapter 3, I forget which verse it is. It said, where there's envy and strife, isn't there any strife and division? He said, there is confusion and every evil work. Right? Where there's envy, where there's strife, where there is division. There's confusion and not. So God gives us structure to eliminate the confusion. So when we don't walk in order, when we don't walk in the steps that the Lord has set for us, then there's confusion in every evil word. And the scripture says in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, it's not the man that walketh to direct his steps. In other words, we can't do it ourselves. We need direction from God. So we want the Lord to order our steps. But how does he order our steps? Through his word. Because his word teaches us order. It teaches us structure. It teaches us to be like God. You cannot think like God and not be a part of God's word. Amen. Now, the one other scripture that we're going to highlight, then we go to our new scripture, is in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28. So it's so important that in us trying to be like God, we have to do it God's way. Now, lawless and doing what's right in your own eyes, that's not God's way. Amen? Lawlessness means that you do what's right in your own eyes. But the scripture says all the ways of man are what? All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. And everywhere of man is what? Right in his own eyes. We just stand in Proverbs because y'all have read it so much. Yeah, so I just, when I quote it, y'all just, in your mind, y'all just go right there. All right, but 25:8 say, he that hath no rule over. Now we're talking about structure. Amen. We're talking about order. We're talking about being disciplined. We're talking about doing things whose way? God's way. The truth according to godliness. Now, whenever we start acting outside of godliness, then we're not doing the truth. Right? When you start acting outside of godliness, you're not doing the truth. You're doing everything that's right in your own eyes because there's no structure. But he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Proverbs, written by Solomon, one of the wisest men of all. Actually, this is, so y'all don't get me politically right, you Bible scholars. These was written down by the man that Hezekiah. All right, chapter 25. Just so y'all get it right. But most of Proverbs, written by Solomon. I know somebody, man, chapter, verse 1 of chapter 25. Don't say Solomon wrote it. Said this was written out by the men in Hezekiah's day. I know. Well, we know most of Proverbs are written by who?
Solomon.
All right, so don't correct me yet. All right. But what he's saying is, if you can't control how you talk, how you act, back in those days, your only source of protection were the walls around the city. So when the walls were broken down and there was no wall, that means anything could come in. What it says, when you don't rule your spirit right. Now, how many know the devil is always around us? Principalities, power, spiritual wickedness, and high, is always around us. So when you don't rule your spirit properly, all those principalities and powers can easily come in. And then you act in such a way, you say, you know, it's bad when you look at yourself and say, whoa, what did I just say? What did I just do? You don't rule your spirit well. Because I read it today, I was telling my wife in what a guy was saying, he said, when you have all this anxiety, when you don't have no peace, and your life is full of confusion, he said, you're spending too much time with the world and not enough time with God. Right? When you got nothing but confusion, anxiety, worries and can't have no peace, he said, you're spending too much time with the world and not enough time with God. Amen. But when you don't rule your own city, what do you mean rule my city? Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. And everything's not necessary. Though I have the freedom and the liberty to do as I choose, it is not always necessary. Amen. I have the liberty. I can do whatever I can. Paul said, but even though you have the liberty and the freedom to do whatever you can, don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. flesh. You have to rule your spirit, and you cannot let your flesh do what? Dictate. Amen. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll start off in verse 11. We're trying to get structure and order in the church, but before we get in the church, we have to get it in our individual lives. Right? So if we structure our individual lives, and everything else will flow harmoniously and smooth. But if we don't have no structure, if we say whatever we want, if we act however we want, we are a city without walls that are broken down. And I said, our new policy is when somebody asks out of order, we're going to say, where are your walls? Now, but you got to be careful, because if that city is really acting up, they might bring your walls down. Amen. But in this facetious, what I'm saying is, do we ever stop for a few minutes and say, you know what? What am I doing and how does God see this? That's why the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know. I don't need you to know somebody else's heart. Know my heart. Then, Lord, even I just don't want my heart to be right, but then try me and know. He says, see if there be any wicked way in me. He said, then, God, I relinquish my will. I relinquish my desire. And then I want you to do what? How can you lead somebody that's fighting? All right, so he said, I want you to lead me. And I don't want to fight, God. I don't want to fight leadership. I don't want to fight those that are helping me. But I want to be what? Led in wherever that's. Verse 11 says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you and our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straightening us, but you are straightening your own bow. Paul's telling the Corinthian church, he said, listen, you're a part of us. We're doing everything that we can to help you. He said, now you're not straightening. In other words, your way is not made narrow or restricted by us, but it's made narrow or restricted by yourselves. Amen. He said, now for a recognition of the same, I speak unto you, my children, be ye also. He said, as a parent would do a child, I'm trying to help you. Paul said, I'm trying to help you. As a parent would help a child, said, now, I haven't done anything to restrict or narrow your way. You've done this to yourself in your own vows. Amen. He said, but be not. Now he's trying to do what? Help. Right? Give him instruction, give you order. Be not unequally yoked together with. So you have believers and you have unbelievers. He said, what goes your path? Righteousness is right in the sight of who? Unrighteousness is not being right in the sight of God. He said, well, how can you have fellowship with righteousness and unrighteousness? Amen. And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord? It means, how can you be in agreement with Christ? And Belial is another name for Satan. He said, how can Christ and Satan be in agreement when Satan is anti-Christ, anti-God? How can there be any agreement? So he's trying to give them order. He's trying to give them structure. He said that in order for you to start and do things right, you got to eliminate some things out of your life. You can't consistently be in unrighteousness. You can't consistently be in darkness. And you can't hang around Satan. Amen? Of what part hath he that believeth with that infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are. What makes us a temple of the living God? The what? Holy Ghost is in us. As God has said, I will. God said, I will. Somebody said, well, the Holy Ghost and God and the Father, Son, God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, now come from out of what? Come from out of unrighteousness. Come out of darkness. Come out of anything that's idols. Right? Come out of anything that has a negative, ungodly influence of Satan. He said, come out from among them and be ye. Separately be sanctified, right? When you're sanctified, you are separated. What are you separated for? Because you better know you're separated for the work of God. Amen. Said the Lord, and touch not. He said, and I will receive you. Now, these next verses are really good. He said, and I will be a, but I can't be your father till you come out from among them and be ye separate. Said, how can God be your father? How is he trying to teach you and you won't come out from the stuff that's hurting you? How can God help you if you stay with things that are unclean? How can God help you when you take the Spirit of God in an unsavory, ungodly atmosphere? God said, I'm going to help you. But in order for me to help you, you got to come out from among them and be ye. He said, then when you separate yourself from all that ungodliness, he said, I will be your father. And ye shall be my sons and my daughters, said the Lord God Almighty. And then he said, have therefore what? What are the promises? God will give you this if you do your part. We're trying to set the church what? In order. God said, now you do your part. And you have an assurance from me, as we read in Titus, that God cannot lie. You do your part, and you have the assurance from God that he will do his part. He said, there, dearly blood, let us some all filthiness of the and not just the flesh, but the spirit. He that hath no rule over his own spirit. If your spirit is out of control, you need to clean it up. You have to clean it up, right? In order for God to be your father, you have to clean up all of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting in the fear. That's 7:1. And last week we went over that the new man will worship God in righteousness and true holiness. So what are we doing? We're trying to set our house in order. Now go to Titus chapter 1 verse 6. Now Paul tells Titus to set things in order. Where? In the church. But guess what? He doesn't start at the bottom of the rung and then work his way up. He starts at the top and work his way down, right? Because how can you have order in the church if the head is sick? Right? Amen? Okay, before we go to Titus, let's go to Isaiah chapter 1. This wasn't in the script, but let's just go there for a minute. Let's see what Isaiah said. This used to be one of my favorite scriptures. Do you remember? All right. I guess that's when she was trying to get me an R. Right? Isaiah chapter 1. I don't want to read all of it, so we're going to skip around just a little bit, right? Let's start in verse 2. Now this is Isaiah the prophet, verse 2. Now once again we're trying to set things in order, but you can't set things in order if the leadership is messed up. Not just leadership in the church, but leadership in the home. Amen. It all has to be what? In order. Somebody help me? All right. Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, and I have. This is God saying. Now, how many know we are God's children? Can you give me a wave off? We all God's children. This is what God, he said, I have nourished and brought up children, and then they. To rebel means to go what? Against. It means to fight. It means to resist. Amen. They rebel against me. He said, now I'm going to make you some comparisons. That my children should be able to make this comparison. He said, the ox knows his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know. He said, my people won't even. God said, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to direct you. He said, but you won't even consider what I'm saying. He said, our sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, once again, is what? Lawless. A people, they're full of sin, they're laden with iniquity. It means that the reason you keep messing up because you resist God, you rebel against God, and you do what you want to do, and you do what's right is in your own A seed of children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They are going away. Say, wait a minute. How are you digressing instead of progressing when the path of the just is supposed to be like a shining light? Why are you going? You used to pray. How are you going? You used to testify. How are you going? You used to be a worshiper in church. How are you going? Right? Because that means now you place more of a premium on what you think than God. God said, I've nourished you. I brought you up. I gave you everything. And you know, we went over this not too long ago, Ezekiel chapter 16. God said, you were dying in your own blood. I cleaned you up. I took you out of pollution. He said, then as I did all this, you rebelled against me. Read Ezekiel chapter 16 for yourself. He said, why should you be stricken anymore? You were revolt. God said, why should I do anything? He said, but the problem starts where? The whole head is sick. Starts where? The head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is. When you go from the sole of the foot to the head, that causes what? Everything, right? But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been clothed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Now, you know, anytime you see a sore and it can't be cleaned up, that's bad, right? Because that's a contagious disease. It's like MRSA. You know, you just can't. It's like a flesh-eating disease. God said, you know what? I've been trying to help you. He said, you refuse so much to the point now that you are messed up. Amen. God said, I can't help you. He said, your country is desolate, and your cities are burned with fire, and your land strangers devour in your. And it is desolate that is overthrown and by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden cucumber, as a the people that should be free are all of a sudden down there surrounded. Right? They're confined. The enemy has besieged them. They won't let them do anything, all right? See, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word. God's word can deliver. God's word was set free. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, give ear to the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. And I like this. To what purpose? It's a multitude. You're going through the motions. He said, what's the purpose? What is it accomplishing? Says the Lord, I am full of burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is a, he said, all your ceremonial part of the church. It doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Amen. He says in Joel, he said, bring your heart and not your garments. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calls of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is. You do what you want to do, but then you come to appear before me like it's all right. Even the solemn meetings, your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hated. They are trouble unto me. He said, I'm weary, even bearing. And when you spread forth your hands, say, they in church, hallelujah. God said, when you done what you want to do. He said, even when you go through the motions of worship, he said, I will close my eyes unto you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear because your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you. And this is real work. We just want to set ourselves in order. Lord, just wash me. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings. For before your eyes cease to do evil. Listen, learn. Learn to do well. Seek. Relieve the oppressed. We all know, and believe it, all of us know verse 18. He said, said, now come down and what? Come down. You know, you been doing what you want to do. Well, can we do some reasoning together? Say it. Don't do what you want to do. Can we just, let's reason this out. Says the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be, you don't have to say like that, just to be willing and obedient. He said, then you should eat the what? All right, go to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. I know we're supposed to be going back to this, but can we just stay on this? Because we're trying to set ourselves in order. You can't get in order if your head is messed up, right? In order for you to get in order, you have to be willing and obedient. Did not God tell his people, he said, to obey is better? So you have to be obedient, all right? Obedience is not what you think, but obedience is this truth that God establishes through godliness, through his word. That is true. Amen. Now we can take the truth and do whatever we want with it, but that doesn't make it right in God's eyes. Amen. Then 29:1. I'm sorry, I'm not 29:1. 29:1. All right. We're trying to get it. Anybody want to be right before God? You want to be right before God? How about a humble spirit? Psalm says, not about me, but it's all about he that God's trying to get us in order, right? God said, how about to keep reproving you what? Over and over and over again. He that often be reproved, you know, God says, no, I keep giving you words of direction. I keep giving you words of instruction. He said, I keep trying to lead you in a path as your father, and you are my children. If you're willing and obedient, he said, but if I keep trying to help you, and I keep trying to redirect your ways, and try to lead you into doing the right thing, and suddenly you harden your neck, then shall we be what? And then, why God keeps reaching out his hand, but they refuse. All right, go to Proverbs chapter 1. All right, go to Proverbs chapter 1. I think it's verse 18 of Proverbs chapter 1. This is not in the plan, so I'm just trying to stay on course with what God has given us, because we're trying to do some things to get ourselves back in his favor. Anybody want to be in God's favor? Amen. Well, no, it's not 18. It might be, let me see. Let's go to verse 22. We go to verse 22. You all can read the rest of this in your own time, but we're going to go from verse 22 up to verse, I believe, 25. We go a long way. We go through all of this, all right? Because we won't get back to Titus. But what we're trying to do now is let's do what's right in whose eyes? God's eyes. Can you do what's right in God's eyes doing it your way? Even Saul, when God finally got his attention, he asked him one question. Lord, what will? Anybody really, really, do you really just surrender all? You're going to say, Lord, what will you have me to do? And now I will do this, and I won't do that. No, what will you have me to do? Amen. Verse 22 read, how long ye simple ones will ye love? Simple means, listen, you know the right thing to do, but you just do what you want to do. Simple. You just won't take heed, you won't take instruction. That's simple. And scorners delight in their scorners, and fools hate knowledge. He said, turn you at my, then 29 said, he tried to reprove them, and they did what? Harden their neck. Right? God tried to help them. God tried to turn them. God tried to redirect them, but they hardened their neck. He said, but turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because God said, I've called. You know, and one thing about God is always calling. The scripture said in Titus, when we're gone there, it said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. But it didn't end there, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this right now. Somebody said, when I get to heaven, no, God wants you to do it right now. So he's trying to reach. He said, I've stretched out my hand and God said, I've been calling. He said, I've even reached out to you. But you what? It's like a man drowning. He said, I don't like you. So I'll just go ahead and die. Right? God said, but I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not and were not of my reproof. He said that these are the consequences of you doing what you wanted to do and refusing to take heed to my reproof. He said, I also will laugh at your, I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation. Desolation. Now listen, he said, this is going to be devastating. And your destruction cometh as a, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they, God said, now listen, before your hard times come, I'm trying to help you. Before it gets real bad, God said, I've been reaching out, I'm trying to help you, before your whirlwind come and the fear cometh as death. He said, before all that come, God said, I'm trying to what? Reach you. Anybody want God to reach him? Lord, whatever it takes, I must be saved. Lord, whatever you have to do to me. Scripture said, don't let me be lost. For above riches, above even my own name, I must. Anybody want to be saved? And then shall they call upon me, God said, but I will. He said, they shall see me. They're going to be looking for me. He said, but they shall not. Well, what's the reason? Why are you going to be calling on God? He won't answer. You're going to seek him and they won't be able to find him. Why? Because they did not choose and they hated knowledge. The only way that we can be right with God is we have to do it according to knowledge. And you have to have reverence for God means, you know, even though I'm stubborn, I mean, all of us got some stubbornness in us. All of us got some things we determined to do our ways, right? But somewhere along that stubbornness, you got to say, wait a minute. Am I doing what I want to do? Or am I doing what God wants me to do? Right? Because in order for us to make the heaven, we have to do it whose way? God. We have to do things that are pleasing. Jesus left us a commandment we should all follow. He said, I always do the things that are pleasing in my Father's sight. He said, because I always do the things that are pleasing in his sight, I know that he hears me. Right? If you do what's right in God's sight every time you pray, even though it might turn out exactly like you asked, you know God heard you. And that it might not happen the right way, but eventually it will. For they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. For they would none of my counsel, they despised all of my reproofs. Therefore should they eat of the fruit of, you know, a lot of times you see people, you try to help so much, and they when the things start falling apart, you know, something that Pastor Harper said, he said, some of us get involved with situations with people that God wants them to go through. And then you get involved thinking you can rescue somebody, but you can't rescue them because they've been disobedient to God. So all you do is add to the frustration and aggravation by aggravating yourself because you're not doing it according to the mind of God. You're doing it because of what you want to do. Right? So some situations that people are in because they have fought God so long, God said, now if I continue letting them go on this destructive path, I'm never going to reach them. You'll reach a point of no return. Amen. One of the problems that God had with Israel, I think it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, he said they did what they wanted to do so much that they reached a point that there was no remedy. Right? And that's why Israel was disseminated into all the Assyrian nation and no longer existed as a nation and only Judah was there. Because God constantly tried to reach them, but they wouldn't heed. So they got so determined to do what Israel. Now there is Israel and there's the Judah, for those that don't know it. The 10 tribes north was Israel, the 2 tribes south was Judah. Well, the 10 tribes got disseminated. Well, they over in Dan, I think he's up in, what are those Scandinavian countries? They all spread out, you know, different ones, they all spread out. Well, why did they get spread out? Because they refused to hearken to God, right? So God said, there arose a point and there was no longer a remedy. Well, what was Israel's problem? They wouldn't do what God wanted them to do. Amen? Therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way, and they shall be filled with their own devices. Amen. For the turning wheel of someone shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso? Anybody want to be a whoso? Tonight, it's about time. Lord, how can I set my house in order when I keep doing it the way I've been doing it? So in order for me to set my house in order, I have to bring about a change. I have to give heart, heed, or ear to God's reproof. Reproof is what? Correction. Right? God's trying to correct. But we're still doing the same thing we've been doing. That's an individual thing we have to check out for ourselves. We're still thinking the way we've been thinking. That's an individual thing. Didn't God say, come out from among them and be ye separate? Touch not thee. He said, then I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my son and my daughters, right? But you gotta come, you gotta be different, amen? But whoso holds on to me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet as we all stand. Tonight is all about learning whose way. When you pray tonight, as the elders and ministers and all the workers come forward, when you pray tonight, amen, as you meditate on God's word tonight, it's time for a real spiritual gut check. A real spiritual gut check is not about me, but it's all about Jesus. It's not about doing what I want to do, but it's doing what God would have me to do. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And how long will fools hate? A fool, what makes a person a fool? The fool is saying in his heart. So God said that when you hate knowledge, you're acting as an atheist. They say there's no God. Well, tonight is time for change. Amen. That change has to come from the heart and from the neck.